Bible Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I wanted to read to you from Proverbs chapter 5. This is in the ERV version, the easy to read version. It says in verse 15 and following, "Now about sex and marriage. Drink only the water that comes from your own well, and don't let your water flow out into the streets. Keep it for yourself and don't share it with strangers. Be happy with your own wife. Enjoy the woman you married while you were young. She is like a beautiful deer, a lovely fawn. Let her love satisfy you completely. Stay drunk on her love and don't go stumbling into the arms of another woman." I want to talk to you today about the sex talk, and especially as it relates to having the talk, the sex talk with your children. And to help me with this discussion is my wife, the wife of my youth, my wife, Debbie. Debbie, you refer to yourself often as the wife of my youth.
Yes, and your first wife.
Yeah, my first wife and the wife of my youth. We've been married March, it will be 38 years. Mm-hmm. 38 years. And so one of the reasons we want to talk about this subject, the sex talk, is because our girls were, we have a big family text thread, and we go back and forth all throughout the day. And my oldest daughter, Jill, said something about, you know, Christian girls especially aren't prepared for sex and marriage because so often their parents don't teach them, they don't tell them. It's one of those taboo subjects in the home. Mom and dad don't really talk about it amongst themselves, much less to their kids.
And even the church doesn't really talk about it.
No, it's a big taboo subject in the church. We'll talk about sex, but not in any kind of specifics or anything that's really helpful to a younger person to understand what this is all about. And I understand why. I mean, as a pastor, you look out in the congregation and you have little kids that aren't ready for that, and you have older people that are, you know, that ship has sailed, you know. And so it's like you got to hit that target audience. So it's probably better for a marriage conference or something like that. And that's really where we got indoctrinated into it. Mm-hmm. How to share this was with Family Life Ministries.
Well, and I think what caused the conversation initially was that in Jill's Sunday school class, their Sunday school teacher had posed the question, how many of you talked about sex growing up? How many of your parents talked to you about sex as you were growing up and going through their home? And I think Jill and maybe one other person out of a class of roughly 25-30 people, there were only her and one other person that raised their hands that yes, they had openly discussed that in their home.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we were talking about this just this morning, Jeff, that we have to be honest enough to look around at our culture and say, hey, we live in an oversexed culture.
Right.
I mean, sex sells. I mean, when Uncle Ben's rice uses seduction to advertise its rice and to set the stage for people wanting to buy their rice, you know that we've kind of reached a new level. But it is so important because there is so much misinformation out there. And particularly, I think, and I guess because I come at it from a female standpoint, but you know, if it's never discussed with you growing up in terms of that it was created by God, it was made for Him, for our pleasure, it's not a dirty thing, it's not a bad thing. Now, there are parameters and boundaries that surround it that make it a good thing. But if we are not the ones teaching our children that, they get into marriage and it's disillusioning.
Well, I think kids today, you know, they learn from other kids, and the internet teaches other kids all sorts of
perverted things.
Yes.
Now,
so they're inundated with it. But from a dirty perspective, from a perverted perspective, they learn false things about sex. They don't learn the truth about sex. I like what Howard Hendricks, the former professor at Dallas Theological Seminary. He was there for years and years and years, is with the Lord now. But he said this: we shouldn't be ashamed to talk about what God wasn't ashamed to create. And so it's okay for husbands and wives to talk to one another about sex. And that is one of the taboo subjects, even in the bedroom. We don't really talk about it. We kind of hint around about it, but it's just like uncomfortable. Oh, I can't really say that. And so there's not an openness there in dialogue between a husband and wife. And so outside of the bedroom, talking to the kids in the family room, it's like they're going to cover their ears. They don't want to hear that. Mm-hmm. But we shouldn't be ashamed to talk about what God wasn't ashamed to create. And we need to see sex as something wonderful that God designed for a husband and wife.
Well, I think part of the problem is that Satan has entered into that realm. In fact, I think that's one of his biggest tools is in misinformation about sex. But our culture today just sees it as something that's just so cheap, that it's no big deal to give it away because it's not of any value. It's not right. of any worth. And so it's not anything that you need to protect. It's not anything that you need to save for. And that leads to such heartache, such disillusion, such shame, such guilt. I mean, the list of things goes on and on, because the bottom line is when we do things God's way, things work out better for us. Mm-hmm. And there is always a cost to obedience. Absolutely, there's a cost to obedience, but there's a greater cost involved in disobedience.
Right.
And so when you steer your ship outside the boundary of what God has designed, and he's designed it for a purpose, it wasn't arbitrary, when you steer your ship outside of that, there are just consequences that you're going to bear, not just immediately, but for the rest of your life, you're going to bear those consequences. And so it's imperative as parents, especially as godly Christian parents, that we train up our children in such a way that they know what God's plan is for that important element and aspect of your life.
Well, the scripture says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you were talking about this is just such a common thing now. Mm-hmm. And you know, when I was in high school, girls were not... I mean, they were not giving in to that. Mm-hmm. Here I am in high school, not a Christian. That is a driving force, you know, wanting to see how far you can go with a girl. But the girls weren't doing that stuff. Today, it's a totally different situation.
Correct.
I mean, couples meet, they just hook up, they don't even know each other, and they're having sex. You know, it's like, well, let's go out to dinner and a movie and have sex. And it's just like, that never happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we didn't have the bombardment in our lives of homosexual sex, no. of girl to girl, guy to girl, no. Cross-dressing, transgendered. We didn't have all of those things. Now, did those things exist? Yes. Did they exist
they
in the magnitude
mainstream.
With which they are now? Absolutely no. not. And so our children are being bombarded on so many different levels. And as a parent, if you think that your children are not hearing about these things, you have your head in the sand.
Yeah.
Because they are. It is absolutely everywhere.
Yeah, and at a younger and younger age. So this is what the scripture says, this idea that, well, sex is just a bodily function and I can do whatever I want with my body and it's no big deal. Paul said this, 1 Corinthians 6:13, food is for the stomach and the stomach is for food, but God will do away with both of them. Yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. Now, God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? May it never be. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a harlot is one body with her? For he says, the two will become one flesh. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price? Therefore, glorify God in your body. Christian parents need to tell their children, hey, as a believer, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and you are not to join your body with someone who is not your spouse.
Right, and you know, that whole idea of becoming one flesh, that is definitely a physical thing that happens, but it's also an emotional thing, it's a soul thing, and what our kids are not understanding is that every time you engage in the sex act with someone who is not your spouse, you are connecting a piece of your soul to that other person's soul. And so you have less of yourself to give to your spouse. And those soul ties are ones that cause you grief, that cause you shame, that as you look back on your life, you think, oh, I can't believe I did X, you know, mm-hmm. because you are in a deeper way, you are connected to that other person because you've experienced that together. And our culture doesn't want you to think that's any big deal, but it is a very big deal.
I remember seeing an interview that Sean McDowell did with his dad, Josh McDowell, and they were talking about the Ravi Zacharias thing. You know, after Ravi's death, we found out that he was sexually immoral with all these women and and sexually abusive. And Sean was talking about pornography, and he said one of the things, I thought this was really insightful. He said, you know, my problem with the pornographers is that they don't show enough. And, you know, the attitude was, what do you mean don't show enough? They show everything. He said, no, they don't show enough because it's just the physical side. They're not showing the emotional side. Like you said, they're not showing the soul ties. Mm-hmm. And this is destroying people.
Yes.
The people that participate in it, the people that watch it. I've heard testimonies from some of these performers, and they said, you know, doing pornography, I lost my soul. Mm-hmm. It's just a destructive thing to that person. God didn't create you for that.
Right. And I think that's why it's so important, especially in today's culture, that as parents, we don't shy away from talking about what may be considered to be difficult things. But we need to be honest with our kids, and we need to use every teachable moment that is presented to us to speak truth into their lives and into their hearts. And, you know, it's different what you're able to share with them and the depth of description and explanation that you're able to give your children grows as they grow in age. But we need to know what the Bible says about it, and then we need to be able to share that with them, even at an early age when they start asking questions. We need to be able to not shy away from that so that they don't grow up thinking that this is something that is not a good thing, that we need to be ashamed of,
right.
You know, and that kind of thing. Now, there are things within that, when you get outside of God's boundary for how sex needs to operate, mm-hmm. there are a lot of things to be ashamed of.
Right.
But when you're doing it within the parameters of God's laws and how He set it up, it's not a shameful thing.
No, I've said before that sex is like fire, and marriage is the fireplace. And there's only one good place for fire in your home, and that's the fireplace. You don't want the fire in the attic. You don't want the fire in the living room. You don't want the fire in the kitchen. Those are things that can burn your house down. But a fire in the fireplace is a wonderful thing on a cold night. And the fireplace is marriage. Mm-hmm. And so that's the way God set it up. And God wants Christian couples to have a wonderful sex life. He wants the sexual intimacy in marriage to be special and to be pleasurable and to be fun, and obviously for procreation, to have children. But God is a good God. He could have made it to where there was no sensation in the sexual relationship, but He didn't. He made it very pleasurable. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, along with my wife, Debbie. We're talking about the sex talk. How do you talk to your children about sex? We'll be right back.
This This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, along with my wife, Debbie. We're discussing the sex talk. How do you have this talk with your kids? And how do you train up your kids to see sex from a biblical perspective, to have God's understanding about sex? We said in the first segment, that quote from Dr. Howard Hendricks, we shouldn't be ashamed to talk about what God wasn't ashamed to create. And as we said earlier, you know, sex is one of those things that husbands and wives don't talk about really much together. They kind of hint around about it. They never just are upfront, hey, I really need to be with you. A husband won't really say that to his wife. He just kind of hints around, and a wife doesn't really tell her husband what, you know, what feels good and what, you know, he's clueless. And so they need a lot of communication to help there. And they need to be able to tell their kids about this is what God has set up. This is what God has given us in marriage. And sex is exclusive to the husband and wife.
Male, female marriage.
Yeah. He made them male and female. And commandment number 7 of the 10 commandments, you shall not commit adultery. And so any kind of sexual activity outside of marriage is forbidden. So sex before marriage with somebody, you know, you're not married, she's not married, you have sex, well, that's called fornication. And sex outside of your marriage bonds, that's called adultery. And the Bible says, let the marriage bed be undefiled, Hebrews 13:4. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. So sex is fire. And the fireplace is marriage. And inside the fireplace, God wants us to have a very satisfying and fulfilling sex life.
Can we just tell one funny story about you with that illustration? And this goes back decades. But Jeff was preaching on this topic at Champion Forest Baptist Church. This had to have been, 25 years ago at least. And he's just going along, he's preaching his little heart out, and then he talks about, I forget, how did you word it wrong?
Yeah, so it was on a Wednesday night. I said that sex is like fire and marriage is the fireplace. Mm-hmm. And I said, now sex in the fireplace.
Yeah, and then it just got deadly quiet. And you looked around and you're like, wait a minute, I don't think I said that right.
And everybody started laughing.
There were just waves of laughter, and you just turned beet red. It's just funny. So every time you talk about that in a sermon, I think, oh, please say it right. Please say it right.
So, yeah, people were asking me, now, do you advocate having sex in the fireplace?
Right. Yeah, no. The list went on. Okay, I want to piggyback on something that you said, Jeff, and that was when you use the terminology sexual intimacy. I think that's an important way to word things, because God did not just give us sex. He wants us to have sexual intimacy, and there's a difference between those two things. Our culture tells us that it's just sex. It's just a bodily function, right. And it doesn't go beyond that. But God's plan is so much greater, because in His plan, it is a physical thing, but it's so much deeper than that. And so if you have cheapened sex to the point that it is strictly an act of the physical body, you've missed out on so much of it. Mm-hmm. Because it is about that intimacy, that soul tie that you have with someone else, where you truly in every way become one flesh, not just physically. And that just goes back to Satan's deception. He wants you to think that it's shallow, that it's just a physical act, it's just for physical pleasure, and that's it. And if that is your view of sex, it is so grossly limited. Mm-hmm. Because God has so much more for you than that.
Well, here's what the scripture says, 1 Corinthians 7. Now, concerning the things about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. But because of immoralities, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Stop depriving one another, except by agreement for a time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer and come together again, lest Satan tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Now, typically in marriage, you will have, now this is not 100% true, but typically the husband is more interested and he's driven more by sex than the wife is. He's a more physical creature the way God created him. She's a more emotional creature the way God created her. And conditions have to be right in a woman, whereas for a man, a woman is cyclical. Every 28 days, she has a cycle, and that can affect lots of things. A man doesn't have a cycle. He's acyclical, and that just means for most healthy men, anytime, anywhere is good. They're interested. Mm-hmm. They're thinking about sex a lot, and so it's different, and a man has to be sensitive to where his wife is, and a woman has to be sensitive to the needs of her husband, and that's why that communication piece is so critical.
Well, I think if we go back to this whole idea of speaking these truths to our children, mm-hmm. that's why it's so important that we talk about them all through their growing up, that from a very early age, they understand, hey, boys and girls are different.
Right.
They are not the same, and they're driven by different thought patterns, they're driven by different hormones. Things are just very, very different. And I think it's important as parents that when our children start to come to us with questions, and in this culture today, there's a lot of things that they're asking, we need to be take it seriously, number one, but number two, we need to just kind of keep our cool, and we don't need to be embarrassed by it. And, mm-hmm. and you know, it's like the quote, we don't need to be ashamed of it, but we need to be able to freely talk about it and to be honest with them with the answers and to give them an age-appropriate answer. So not, right. you don't go into tons of depth with a five-year-old. But as they continue to get older, and sadly, in our culture, our children are exposed to so many things at such a younger age mm-hmm. than it was when our children were growing up. But it's so important to make sure that we establish, number one, that when they come to us and ask a question, they know that we're going to be honest and we're going to tell them the truth. I think that's a critical element in terms of speaking truth to your children. They have to know that what you're telling them is the truth, and even if it's a hard answer, you're going to give it to them. And I remember one time Amy came to us, our middle daughter, and this was early in middle school, so maybe sixth grade, and she came home from school that day and just plopped down on the bar stool in the kitchen, and she said, "Mom, what is masturbation?" I mean, out of the blue. And it kind of caught me off guard, honestly, and I looked at her and said, "Do you really want to know what that is?" She said, "I do." I said, "Okay." And I just started to explain it to her. And about a fourth of the way, third of the way through, she goes, "Blah, blah, blah. I don't want to hear anymore." You know, because she, at that time, she wasn't ready to hear that.
Yeah.
And so we have to be able to say, okay, hey, these are real things. These are real issues. And we need to be able to speak truth into those issues and not shy away from them. And that establishes with our children that when they do have questions, they have the freedom to come to us and get the truthful answer, as opposed to seeking it out in other places, which they can find answers in other places, mm-hmm. but those answers probably aren't going to be the truth.
Right. Well, I think it's important, too, for moms and dads, when you want to grow up your children, boys and girls, to have a healthy, a biblical perspective with regard to sex. You model a good, healthy marriage before your kids. You model a loving relationship. Your kids need to see you, mom and dad, hugging on each other, kissing on each other, loving on each other. I just think that it's really important that kids grow up with a lot of affection, a lot of hugs in the home, so that they just know that it's good to be demonstrative. And if you're not that way, you have to kind of say, "God, help me to be that way." I've always mentioned this because I think that pastors, some pastors are kind of, cold in how they approach people. They want to be very careful. They always, stick out their hand, or, "Hey, we can bump elbows type thing. And I always say, you know, when you meet the Lord, do you think the Lord was a handshaker or was he a hugger? You know, I mean, little kids wanted to sit in his lap because he hugged on them and loved on them. And so I think it's important to do that, to let people know, hey, you know, you are worthy of me touching you and hugging you. And our kids need to feel that. They need to know that mom and dad have this kind of relationship that's very demonstrative.
Right. And I remember vividly one time you were hugging me or kissing me in the kitchen or whatever. One of the girls walked through and like, oh my gosh, get a room. And we said, we have a room. It's right over there. You know, and it's true because that.
But they love that.
They love that because it provides them such security. Mm-hmm. Such security to know that mom and dad love them and that their home is not child-centered, but it's marriage-centered. Mm-hmm. And that's just very important. And I was thinking, too, about, you know, if you just don't know what to say to your kids, like, you know, you just feel like you're just going to bumble and stumble if they ask you questions. There's a lot of good resources that you can Google and find. But the key is they have to be biblically based because there's a lot of misinformation out there that you can Google on the web, and it is absolutely not Christ-centered instruction and Christ-centered. And so I think as a parent in our current culture, we have the availability of a lot of resources to help us, but we have to be very guarded with what we allow ourselves to even look into and read because we want to make sure that we're giving correct information.
Well, and I think, as you said, you know, when your kids come with their questions, you have to be ready to answer them and to be honest with them. You don't have to go into grimy details because a lot of times they'll want to know, well, what was your life like when you were in middle school and when you were in high school? Did you do this? And, you know, lots of times we as parents don't want to answer that. We don't want to air our dirty laundry. But I think it's important that you're honest with your kids and you say, you know, I made a lot of mistakes in that area and I wish I could go back, but I can't.
Right.
But I can tell you this, you don't want to do what I did because you pay a price for that. You reap what you sow. I did a whole program yesterday. Be sure your sin will find you out. And if you sow to the flesh, you will from the flesh reap corruption and rottenness. And so you don't want to do those things that are going to hurt you.
Right. And I think, too, I've talked to different women about this throughout the years as I've done counseling. And I think that you can, as a female, you can have messed up. You can have gone against what God's parameters of what you needed to do, but there is forgiveness and there's grace with the Lord. Mm-hmm. When you come before Him, you humble yourself, you confess, you repent, meaning I'm choosing to not do things my way anymore. I'm going to do things your way. Mm-hmm. When you do that and His cleansing comes over you, His blood takes away that shame and that guilt. Mm-hmm. And so you can have, spiritually, you can have a second virginity. Mm-hmm. And so you can enter into a marriage relationship with a clean slate. And I think that's important for our listeners to know because a lot of people have engaged in those in the sex act with other people. Now they're married, and Satan will use those past experiences to taunt them, to bring guilt and shame into their hearts and into their lives, and limit their intimacy with their spouse because of those prior things.
Right. Well, the devil's a liar and the father of lies. He will tell you you're damaged goods. You can never be forgiven for this. You know, I shared yesterday Luke 7. I think it's such an important passage of scripture. The prostitute that wept at Jesus' feet, she shed tears of repentance at His feet over what she had done. Well, He said, your sins have been forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace, not go in guilt, not go in shame. Mm-hmm. I said yesterday, you know, He didn't give her a scarlet A and said, now you know, put this on your dress so everybody knows you're an adulteress, or put this on your, you know, scarlet P for a prostitute so everybody knows that's who you are because you're a second-class citizen in the kingdom of God. It's not like that at all. And you're forgiven and you're set free. There is therefore now no condemnation, not one speck of condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So I think about that lady in Luke chapter 7. And then in Luke chapter 8, right after that, it tells us about Mary Magdalene, and she had seven demons cast out of her. Now, she loved the Lord with all her heart. You can just imagine if you are housing seven demons, no telling the sins you've committed. I mean, your life was a living hell and a garbage dump for the devil. Well, it doesn't go into all her sins, but they were horrific. You just know they're horrific. And the Lord delivered her from those demons, and he saved her. And she was one of the greatest Christians in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. And so there is total forgiveness from sexual sin. But sexual sin is different kind of sin.
Yes.
Because you sin against your own body. It's not like just telling a lie or stealing or doing something like that. You've sinned against your own body. So it takes faith in the Word of God to know that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my wife, Debbie. We're having a discussion on the sex talk, marriage after dark, sexual intimacy in marriage, and how to have that talk with your kids so that your kids understand the truth of what does the Bible say about sexual intimacy in marriage. We live in a sex-saturated society. Sex is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But it has to be engaged in God's way in the confines of marriage. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call. We'd love to talk to you. I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here along with Debbie. We're having a discussion on the sex talk, marriage after dark, sexual intimacy in marriage, and how do we communicate the biblical truth of sex and how God created sex in marriage. How do we communicate that to our children? How do we model a loving marriage and a healthy understanding of sex is reserved for the marriage? And once you get married, God wants you to enjoy that. Now, Debbie, you've said before in a conference that we've done about how many girls are taught, hey, good girls don't, good girls don't, good girls don't. And then you get married and now it's good girls do everything.
Right. It's a very difficult transition to make emotionally.
So how can a parent, especially a mom, because I think moms can talk to daughters better on that subject mm-hmm. than a dad can. Dad can talk to boys better. Mm-hmm. But how do you help the girls to see, okay, it doesn't have to be that flip the switch radical, whoa, what just happened?
Well, I think it boils back down to, like we talked about, I think, in the first segment, and that is there just needs to be good communication between you and your spouse. And so if that is taking place, even when you're first married, that helps transition that. If there's good communication between the two of you in terms of expectations and fulfillment and all of these other things, I think that's real important. And I think it's just important to particularly when you're talking to girls, to remind them of the truth of most of the time, this is true, is that women, because they're relational, they desire intimacy. Men, because they're physical, they desire sex. And so a man will use intimacy to get sex. A woman uses sex to get intimacy. Mm-hmm. And so that we, as we transition into that, it's to understand that it's not just that it's okay, but that is God's blessing is on that. Mm-hmm. So it's more than just, okay, all of a sudden this is now all of a sudden fine. It's like, no, the reason it's all of a sudden fine is because God has said that that's what it is. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to be based on your emotion. It's the truth of God's word that within the confines of marriage, this is good. It is pleasing. And that doesn't necessarily happen instantaneously. And I think that's okay.
Yeah, you grow into that.
You grow into that. I think for females to understand that,
right,
so that, hey, if straight out of the chute you aren't feeling these things, that's okay. That's normal. You don't need to think there's something wrong with you, that you're different, or right, there's something flawed in you. But you grow into that because right, you grow in intimacy. Just like you grow in intimacy with the Lord as you come to know Him more and more, you grow in intimacy with your spouse as well.
I think an important thing to remember is, especially for guys, sex is not about you getting fulfillment. Sex is about the other person.
Right.
So if sex becomes all selfish, you're just going to fulfill my needs.
There's no intimacy there.
No, and you're just using your wife for that. You have to have this sense of this, and it's normal and fine to say to her, I really need you. Mm-hmm. And for the wife to say, okay, well, I want to help you with that. Mm-hmm. But you talk that through. But mm-hmm, it's not demanding. Mm-hmm. I demand you to do this. You know, you don't have authority over your own body. I do. 1 Corinthians 7:4. Well, the Bible does say that. And then it says, likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. We're not to deprive one another, but it can't be a, you're going to do this, I demand this every day or twice a day or whatever. That's a total perversion of what God has created.
Right.
Sex is supposed to be a wonderful celebration of love. And listen, when couples ask, well, how often, what's a good, healthy, normal sex life? Probably a couple times, two or three times a week for a husband and wife to get together would be a healthy sex life. If you have this idea that, you know, we're going to have sex twice a day or something like that, that is not normal. That is not healthy. That is not necessarily bad, mm-hmm, but probably one of those partners, you know, your wife, I would imagine, is not wanting to do that, you know, right, every day or twice a day,
right,
that kind of thing. So you got to be sensitive, and it goes back to communication. You have to be able to talk openly and honestly and lovingly toward one another. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And we have Kenny on the line from Oklahoma. Kenny, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff. I want to thank you and your wife, Debbie, for your program. Thank you for promoting purity. But whatever you do, sir, please do not spare the fact that our public schools, and in many cases, starting with 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, they are indoctrinating them with filth and perversion. Yes. The public schools need to be exposed for what they are doing.
Yes.
The best I can tell, it's happening in the majority of public schools. I don't know about every single school, but from what I'm hearing, it sounds like it's absolutely the majority. sir, we must protect our four-year-olds, our five-year-olds, our six-year-olds in the public school system. So please don't fail to mention that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Great point, Kenny. You're exactly right. Now,
I think that was one positive outcome of COVID. COVID opened people's eyes to what our children are being exposed to in the classroom,
right?
Because kids were home so much.
Well, so in Texarkana, Texas, one of the Texarkana, Arkansas, too, is, well, I know more about the Texas side, but to my knowledge, none of that is happening in our schools.
We are very blessed.
But I will say this, if we had little kids and we lived in an area, I would make it a point to know, what are you teaching my kids? And if they're teaching filth, I would get my kids out of there. Mm-hmm. And if that means that we're going to homeschool or we're going to somehow get them in some Christian school, you know, I know that the finances can be such that you can't do that, but you know, your priority is your kid. There are your kids, and you need to protect them, protect their minds, protect their hearts. And so whatever sacrifice you need to make to keep them from being polluted in that way, that is extremely important. Great word, Kenny. I appreciate you bringing that up. We have Amanda on the line from Kentucky. Amanda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I listen to you guys all the time, and I just appreciate the work that you're doing so much.
Thank you.
I'm kind of embarrassed, but I'm so glad that I heard this today. I had a sexual relationship with my now husband before we were married, back when I was 18, 19 years old. We did go on to get married, and we have four children now. But I feel like as a result of that, you know, prior to marriage sexual relationship, I don't really have a healthy view of what intimacy is supposed to look like. And I feel like our marriage has suffered a little bit. I'm sorry, I'm nervous. I know I'm...
No, that's okay.
No, you're good. You're good.
Quaking a little.
No, you're doing
but,
great.
But I just wondered, I want to make our marriage better, and I want to have that intimacy that you guys are talking about, but I'm not really sure... I feel like I may have messed things up, and I'm not sure how to go back and fix that.
Mm, great question, Amanda. I appreciate you bringing that up, and thank you for listening to the program. Well, I think going back to communication, I think sitting down with your husband and just sharing your heart and where you're coming from, and you know, you're having you know, these plaguing doubts, let's say, or some guilty feelings. And I think sharing that with him and sharing that with the Lord, and I do, I always go back, Amanda, to that passage in Luke 7 where the Lord says to the prostitute, all those things that she did, I mean, her sins were many, but the Lord forgave her and he washed her white as snow. Your sins have been forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And so anytime... Once we confess that sin, the Lord covers it with his blood. He washes it away. And when you feel those things come up, things that you have already confessed and the Lord has already cleansed, those things that come up from years ago, you just know that is not from the Lord. That is from the enemy. And so I have to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and just say, wait a minute. No, I don't receive that. God has forgiven me for that. And the devil's going to always try and bring trash and dump it on our doorstep, so to speak. And we don't have to let him do that. We say no. And we can praise the Lord that that has been forgiven. And God does want you to have a wonderful marriage and a wonderful time with your husband, sexual intimacy in marriage. And what you did beforehand does not cripple that, because the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sins.
Absolutely. And I think there's so many Christian books out there that talk about this topic. There's one, I'm trying to look it up now. I think it's called Intimacy in Marriage. It's by Linda Dillo. I'm looking on Amazon right now, just even seeing if I can find the actual title of this book. But it talks about different issues like that, and it just helps you to see, hey, these feelings that I'm having, these are not abnormal. Other women who have experienced in the past what I've experienced, they've struggled in this area as well. And there's just something about knowing that other people have experienced the struggle, they've overcome it, they've healed from it, they've gotten past it, and they've moved on. That's very encouraging. And to know that, you know, that this is not an abnormal thing, but this is something that is going to help me to surrender and rely on the Lord more, not rely on my own emotions or my own feelings, but to rely on the truth of His Word. So there's quite a few Christian books, and that's the key, Christian books.
Here's a good book, Amanda. I think,
Intimate Issues, right. That's it. Okay,
Conversations Woman to Woman by Linda Dillow, D-I-L-L-O-W.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is what it says about it. What does God think about sex? Can you be godly and sensuous? How do you recapture the passion in your marriage with warmth, wisdom, and candor? Dillow and this other author, Pintus, answer the most asked questions Christian women have about sexual intimacy.
Yes, and great book.
And so, Debbie, you've read that book.
I have read that book, yes.
Yeah. So I think that could be helpful, Amanda. And like I said, everything goes back to the communication factor. And you know, when you're able to just openly share that with your husband and share that with the Lord, trust in Him at all times. Oh, people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Psalm 62, verse 8. We're able to share that with the Lord, and the Lord knows, the Lord understands. He's our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. So that would be, I think that would be something that would be very, very helpful. What do you think?
Oh, thank you. Yes, I'm glad to have those suggestions. I will definitely look those up. And again, I really appreciate all that you guys do. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling in. Appreciate your honesty. We have John on the line from Louisiana. John, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Bonjour, Pastor. Yes, I think as far as sex is concerned, as far as dating for high school or even junior high, I think the big need for kids there is to know the acceptable things to talk about and to the activities. I think sex is far down the road, and we need not talk too much about that. But what you were saying about the Bible instruction is good. But they need to have like a trial run with their parents at the home on you know, I like the way you do this or that, or tell me about yourself, or tell me about this or that. And how to give them good ideas of what a normal date should look like, and
yeah,
get them on the right track there before you're talking about sex. That's far down the road.
Yes.
I'm talking about high school kids and junior high kids.
Yeah, great word, John. You're exactly right. So, yeah, moms and dads, we need to let our kids know what a healthy date looks like. And, you know, you have to have boundary lines, hard boundary lines, and, you know, go in parking, as that was a big thing when
that
we were...
You are dating yourself on that one, Sharif.
You know, the idea, you don't want to put yourself in that situation. You told the girls, hey, purity in relationships is location.
It all boils down to geography.
Yeah, don't go somewhere where you can get yourself in trouble. So good word, John. And we need to let our kids know that when they go out on dates, they need to have fun. And they probably need to have double dates, triple dates, not just you go out with this guy or this girl. Well, we have time just real briefly. Carmen in Texas. Carmen, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, good morning and Happy New Year. I just want to speak a word of encouragement to the lady that called a little bit ago that has feelings of guilt. And the fact is that the blood of Jesus has not lost its strength. It still heals. It still cleanses. And I just want to encourage her to claim that.
Amen.
And apply that to her situation.
Amen. Great word, Carmen. You're exactly right. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with Debbie. We were discussing the sex talk. This might be something good to share with a friend. AFR.net, Real Truth for Today. Hey, go out this weekend, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And God will use you as His witness. I'll be with you again on Monday. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.